So the first person is Tamar Adler. She's the author of Everlasting Meal, Cooking with Economy and Grace, former editor at Harper's Magazine. Tamar has cooked at Prune and Chez Panisse and was the founding head chef of Farm 255. Tamar has worked as an agricultural policy researcher for Dan Barber. That's a big deal. Jennifer Aniston just got engaged at Blue Hill. And she's taught writing at Smith College, and she's written for Harper's, The New York Times, Mother Jones, Atlantic, Salon, Guilt, Taste, and Fine Cooking, among many other, and here she is.
Hi. Is that working? Well, I'm glad that Alyssa pointed out the shoes, because I wanted to say that any birthday party that I can wear galoshes to, I will attend. So that goes for everybody if you happen to need somebody to tell a story and you want somebody to wear galoshes. So I never met Julia Child in person, but I met her like probably we all did, which is through some amazing experience that changed our lens on cooking in some way. And for me, it was through Salad Niçoise. And I got to that through a lunch that I had with my mom when I was 10 or 11 or 12, or you know, one of those ages in there where everything is super formative and poignant. And she took me out to lunch at a brasserie in Midtown, and I ordered salad caprese. And I was completely overwhelmed at the idea that a salad could be not all tossed together, like that I could get to choose how much cheese I wanted in every bite and how much tomato I wanted. And I felt like the most powerful person alive because nobody else could tell me what was going to be in each bite. And I freaked out at my mom, and I said I wanted that at every single meal. And what was it called? And she said that that was called choice and growing up, but as far as salads were concerned, it was called a composed salad. And I asked if there were other composed salads, and she told me that Salad Niçoise was the most famous one. I begged her to make it, and she promised that she would, but I was, is that working? But I wasn't allowed to complain about there being tuna and anchovies in it. There was going to be no deviation. So I said, okay. And the next day, I remember that my brother and my dad did something really manly, like played mini golf, and my mom made me Salad Niçoise. And we sat outside, and we ate it, and I was completely silent for once, and I ate a bite of tuna and a bite of hard-boiled egg, and then that was it. And then I would take a bite of olive and a piece of butter lettuce, and then I would do a combination of three things or four things, and I felt more empowered than I had the day before, and just completely, utterly alive in that meal. And again, you know, I just got as enthusiastic as kids get. And so my mom rented me the episode of Julia making Salad Niçoise. And I fell completely in love. Because she didn't just make it. She made it in this way that was so lusty and somehow like dirty and completely composed at the same time. And everything she did with this like muscularity that didn't seem at all to go with the idea of arranging things on a plate. And when I saw her do that, I started making Salad Niçoise. I think it was probably the first thing I made at 12 or 13. And I think it was the only thing I could make until a lot later. But I thought, okay, you know, I'm starting to get a sense of my own taste and my own palate and how I like things to be. And so then when I was asked to speak tonight, I thought, okay, this is easy. I'll just talk about how Julia taught me that you could be both composed and passionate and what these tastes were and how they went together. And so I went back and I watched the episode again. And the first thing I noticed was that Julia was completely sort of, she wasn't careless, but she wasn't overly worried about anything that she did. You can see it when she points out the ingredients. She says each thing like three times, And as soon as she touches one, it kind of like wobbles and falls over. And then the first, you know, she talks about potatoes and she keeps on kind of like pointing and poking at the potatoes. And when she chops shallots, at first she does it completely elegantly, but then she just goes at them, you know, and you feel like you kind of want to step in on the shallot's behalf. But then you think, no, it's okay, I'm going to go along with this. And then I thought, oh, so I guess it wasn't just my understanding of this balance between composure and passion that I got from her, but also the way I do things, which is, you know, I kind of do it a little bit perfectly and then think, okay, well, I know it's going to taste the same. And then I saw her buying potatoes at the farmer's market in Nice, and she's, you know, almost yelling at the poor potato seller, and she keeps on touching them, even though you're not supposed to touch things in French markets. And I thought, oh, wait, I actually got this affect from her also. And I had no idea I did that. And I remembered myself in essentially any market I've ever been in, including fish markets, touching the fish while the poor guy's like, hey, Chris, stop touching the fish. And then I saw her pounding up garlic and talking about why you use one kind of vinegar and one kind of oil. And she sounds almost snobbish because she keeps on saying you need the absolute best, but she manages to sound like a snob in the most democratic way possible. And I thought, I think I got that also. Because maybe sometimes I sound like a snob, but I think usually I believe so firmly that you need to have the best of some things that it doesn't feel like snobbery, but just like a kind of, like people feel bad for me for evangelizing so hard, so they just decide to buy it. And then she makes exactly half as much dressing as she needs, and then she has backup and kind of apologizes and says, like, good to have backup. And I thought, okay, so apparently I got that too. And then she puts the salad together, and as she's putting it together, uses almost everything. And there's, you see her do this, and it seems like it makes no sense. She leaves one piece of tomato, just doesn't use it, says, oh, I'm doing the tomatoes, and then she doesn't use that one. She does the same thing with every single ingredient. And that is my worst or my strangest twitch in the kitchen. No matter what I make, I will never use all of it. There's always this much left of the beans, and it's just not the right amount. I know that the right amount is exactly that much less than what I've made. And people ask me about it sometimes, like, why didn't you just use the end of that? I don't know why, it just seemed exactly right. And so as I watched this episode, I kept on seeing things that she did that were precisely what I do, including her conviction that the only way to make this salad was exactly as she had done it, except if you wanted to do it a different way. In which case, that's what you should do. And it was really wonderful to see again that pretty much, even though I thought I had gotten just one or two lessons from this person who has been with me my whole cooking career, I got pretty much everything I do from her, which is so cool, because if I keep on getting things from her and copying her, then I will live to be 91 or 100, if you count today, or Dave from One Girl Cookies thinks that she lived to 118. So I think that I will have a lot of longevity if I just stay in her tracks. Thank you.